The decision today was one that some fans thought might, the decision specifically to bring Gardner up, might have been made a little bit earlier. What was the thought process here?
Well, first of all, you know, there's a roster issue, so Corby goes down to make some room. We'll recall Jake for tomorrow morning,
okay,
and he'll be able to be, you know, at the morning skate and be available to rent for Randy tomorrow night if he chooses to put him in. Guard's game has improved dramatically in the last, you know, 10 days to 2 weeks. He's kind of shown a lot of the speed, puck carrying ability, power play ability that he showed last year, and he was able to sustain it for, you know, 3, 4, 5 games in a row and you know, became a real option for us. And in terms of, you know, moving the puck, the last 5 games we've had a little bit of difficulty at times getting the puck to our forwards. It's a strength of Jake's, and when he's playing at the top of his game, he can definitely help us in that area. So, you know, we felt that at least to bring him in here as an option for the team made some sense.
Dave, given the 5-game losing streak, given the free Jake Gardner Twitter thing, given the hothouse in which you operate in Toronto, the hockey hothouse, the unbelievable spotlight there, how do you guard against this becoming, you know, too big a deal for a young, with a young player who will be treated? It'll be a huge news story. There'll be people who will treat him as the savior, the guy that's going to fix things. How do you guard a young player against all of that stuff?
Well, first of all, the free Jake Gardner tweet, Jake had nothing to do with that. You don't hold that against a player, and you also don't recall him because of it. You know, Jake is recalled because he's played well enough to be an option for us to possibly be in the lineup and help, you know, the offensive part of our game. He's not the savior. He's a very good player that we saw last year that could do a lot of different things for us when he's on the top of his game. He's still a young guy. He's still, you know, a player with well under 100 games pro, and to expect too much out of him would be unfair to him. But he has been playing very, very well, and that's, you know, that's the yardstick, the measuring stick that you need to use is how well is the player playing, not, you know, did he play well last year? He was playing well enough now that we think he's an option to help us, and that's really all it is. He's not going to come in here and solve any and all problems. He's a guy that can help us in certain areas, and I would expect he's been given opportunity to do that.
Dave, everything you said is true, you know, and it's exactly correct. But you know that you're operating in a place where that, you know, truth is, it's not going to be about truth. It's about something else. And you know, that is going to be the atmosphere in which he skates back on the ice for the Toronto Maple Leafs. So again, how do you kind of keep it in perspective for Jake Gardner?
Well, I think first of all, Jake's got a pretty good head on his shoulders. Before he even knew he was being recalled, he actually called me this morning, and I've actually never had a player call and have a discussion about, you know, his intentions and how hard he wants to work, and that he's fine in the minors if that's where he ends up for a while. And he didn't even know that we're thinking of recalling him tomorrow at that point. So his head isn't big to begin with. You know, he knows that he could play in this league because he did it last year and he played very well. And I think you have to keep all those players grounded. It's really no different than Kadri in that regard, where you know, he's done a lot of good things for us this year, but he also knows that there's a lot of work, you know, left ahead if he's going to be a complete player. Jake's no different. You know, he's got some holes in his game, and he knows it, and we need to improve in those areas. And he's not the savior here. They're always going to write things or say things, both, you know, too positive or too negative in this market. And I think the players, you know, we have to do a good job internally of protecting them.
With Dave Nonis, the general manager and senior vice president of the Toronto Maple Leafs. What's happened over the last 5 days? How would you define, or last 5 games? How would you define the performance of your club and this slide?
I would say we've definitely been a mixed bag. You know, the game in Boston that we lost—that's probably the best game that we've played in Boston in 4 years. And I think we played as well as we have on the road, and came out with a loss. It had no issue at all with that. The 2 games against Pittsburgh, I think we played quite well in both of them. You know, having to come back was something that we probably shouldn't have been in that position, but we were, and we did. The games against Winnipeg, I can't tell you that the game in Winnipeg was good, because it wasn't. That was one of our worst performances of the year. You know, we've been good on the road, and I think Randy and the players pride themselves in working hard, you know, every night and on the road in particular. We've had that, I think, the mentality that we're going to outwork the opponent. And the game in Winnipeg was not one where we outworked anyone, and the performance showed. The game against Winnipeg here, the point we picked up was a character point, but we went through 12 minutes where we were standing around, and we're not a talented enough team to play 48. You know, we need to play 60 if we're going to have a chance to win, and you know, we're able to get out a point, and we're fortunate for that. But you know, going forward, we can't play 48 minutes, and you can't play 48 minutes, particularly on home ice.
Dave, everybody, people are going to be reminded of how things unraveled last season. I know it's different, and it's a different cast to some degree, and a different coach than at least at the beginning of the slide last year. But are you worried at all that for the guys who went through that last year, that you know that has to play a little bit in the back of their heads, a little bit of here we go again?
Well, I think it's probably human nature to look back and kind of see what happened. The one difference that I would draw, you know, at this point in particular, is that we just went over the last five games. I think there was one game where I can tell you we weren't happy with the performance and the effort. And last year, when things were going poorly, I can tell you that we were not happy with the effort more than that. You know, the guys have worked hard, and they're pretty focused on doing what we need to have done. They understand that if we're going to have success, it's not going to come from pretty plays. It's going to come from hard work. If we work hard and we can stay healthy, you know, I think we're going to win our fair share of games, but we're not going to be able to win it with shortcuts and some of the things we saw last year.
With Dave Nonis, the trade deadline isn't upon us, but it's not far away now. How does the recent performance of the hockey club impact you and the decisions you're going to make, David, with regard to what you might or might not do at the trade deadline?
Well, I think we're going to be in the mix with a bunch of teams, and I've been asked, are you going to be a buyer or a seller? And I think the answer there is there's the possibility of both. I mean, depending on the strengths of the team, depth of the defense corps, if we have any extra forwards that we think we can put into a package to improve our team, we could be moving players out. We could be moving some picks to bring players in. It's really going to be determined on what's available to us. I think it's just because of the 48 games and the number of teams that are in it, it's going to be difficult to make deals. You're going to see deals, you always do, but from what we've seen in the last week and with the GM meetings coming up here, I don't see a lot of activity maybe up right up until the trade deadline day. So I guess the long-winded answer is I don't know what's going to be available to us. I can tell you that, I wouldn't say that we wouldn't move picks for players. And we do have some UFAs. People have asked about them. Would you move the UFAs? For me, you know, if we're willing to pay a pick for a rental, why wouldn't you be willing to keep your unrestricted players at the same time if you think they're going to help you win and potentially re-sign them? So we're not sold on selling guys who may be unsigned. We're perfectly prepared to keep them, and we may, look to add some pieces along the way.
On the list of your long and short range priorities, Dave, where is making the playoffs, getting into the top eight this year? Where is that on the list?
Well, it's a priority, but it's not going to be at the expense of the long term success of the team. So, for example, would we move, Fratton and Kadri for older groups of players, and then that just wouldn't make any sense to us. But if we can add a piece that would help us get in, and it's not going to take away from those types of players, then definitely we would look to do it.
Your predecessor often spoke of trying to get ahead of the curve when it comes to the trade deadline, to make moves as far, before everybody else, figuring that the field was broader at that point. Do you share that sentiment?
Maybe in a normal season when there's been some separation, but this year I don't know that there's going to be the ability to be ahead of the curve. I think a lot of teams are going to see what they have right to the end. I know some teams have that we've spoken to have said that they're looking to add pieces, by giving up prospects and picks. They don't want to give up anything on the roster, but if they get to April 2nd and they can't fill those holes, then they're going to move some players. So you just don't know what's going to be available yet, and until everyone's hand has been dealt and shown, we're not going to know which players could come in here and help us. And so I think it's going to be very difficult to get too far ahead of it this year.
Your goaltending situation. Give us your analysis of these two guys and where you think this is going to, how this is going to resolve itself by the end of this season.
Well, they both played very well in stretches.
Exactly.
It's kind of similar to what we talked about at the start of the year when the question was being asked of us, you know, would you, do you want to improve your goaltending? And our answer then is we think we have two quality and two capable NHL goaltenders. The one thing that we don't have is experience, and the only thing I would tell you, the only fault I would probably give you with our goaltending is we've had a few goals in certain games that aren't talent related. They're experience related, and I think they've, you know, by and large, goaltending has not been an issue for us. Our save percentage is basically I think it's in the, you know, top 10 or 12. Our goals against average is probably in the middle of the pack. You know, they've both given us quality goaltending, and the only way to get experience is to play. But that's the one area where I think that we still have to, you know, be cognizant of, and that's our lack of experience in that.
Do you even contemplate, if the opportunity is presented to you at the trade deadline, to make a move to address that experience issue, or are you comfortable with these two guys?
Both. If we go past the trade deadline with these two goaltenders,
you're okay.
I don't think that that's a setback for our team at all.
Okay.
If there's an ability to improve our team in net, down the middle on the wing, I don't think you can say that we're not going to look at those, because we would. But it's not one where we're, you know, pounding the pavement, seeing if we can find a goalie, because we don't have two guys that can stop the puck, because we do.